This is the Make Money Blogging Podcast, episode 39, with digital nomad wannabe founder Sharon Goulet. In today's episode, I'm talking all about my favorite topic in the world, which is SEO. I only just realized that even though I love it so much, I've barely talked about it on this podcast, which is actually shocking to me. But the good news about this is that it means I have the perfect excuse to talk to you about it today. We're going to talk about how to form your SEO strategy to gain traffic in a way that your readers will love with an effective SEO strategy. I'll talk about all the different areas in SEO and about how you can do a good job with all of them ongoing. So we're talking about keywords and links, as well as things like your site setup. Now, this episode is for you if you want to make sure you're covering all the bases with your own blog's SEO strategy, or if you're new to SEO and trying to understand how the parts fit together. In today's episode, I first quickly talk about what SEO is and why it's important, as well as some common terms. Then I step you through what you should be doing across your site, in individual posts, and in places other than your blog to have the best chance for sweet Google traffic to your blog.
Welcome to the Make Money Blogging Podcast with Digital Nomad Wannabe. Each week on this show, you'll find actionable tips and strategies for growing traffic and income from your blog with no fluff, so you can quit the day job and have more freedom to do what you love. From SEO to affiliate marketing to blogging business strategies, it's all here. Let's start with your host, digitalnomadwannabe.com founder, Sharon Goulet.
So today we're talking about everything SEO. Yay! I love SEO so much, as it's been the basis of my success online since I started blogging seriously in 2013. SEO has just always made sense to me. You can write articles that people are looking for in Google search and then get those articles to them by high ranking in search results. How could you not have success? But of course, that doesn't mean this is easy to do or work out when you're first starting out with SEO. So let's make it as easy as possible for you if you just follow along with today's episode. Now, don't forget, you can find today's show notes at digitalnomadwannabe.com/episode39, where you'll also find links to my SEO Boost Challenge and link building challenges, which can really help kickstart your progress with SEO. I also link to other podcasts I've done and articles that break down some of the topics I briefly mentioned today in more detail. So if you want to learn more, definitely go to digitalnomadwannabe.com/episode39. And if you enjoy today's show, make sure you subscribe to the Make Money Blogging Podcast and leave a review. That's the best way to keep me going. Now, this episode is sponsored by my brand new course, SEO Fast Track, which I just finished creating and released for the bargain price of $97. In this course, I walk you through exactly how to shortcut your SEO success and get tons of traffic to your blog by doing everything we talk about today step by step. Everything is broken down for you so you know exactly how to do it and can work through it at your own pace. All for the best price by far I've ever sold an SEO course for. And you can find it at digitalnomadwannabe.com/SEO. Now, before I get into this topic, I want to quickly say I'm not doing a podcast update on my Malaysia site case study again this month, but you can see all the numbers at digitalnomadwannabe.com/case study. I hope to go back to this in my podcast next month, as I have a lot to say, especially as by then I would not have only finally returned to Malaysia once, but twice. I'm also speaking at TVEX, like a travel blogging conference, next week in Phuket, which I'm super excited about. It's been such a long time since I've been around my people, you know, people that do what we do. And I just cannot wait. And if you are there, please make sure you come up and say hello. I'll be talking about SEO at Meet the Experts as well. So, you know, if you get some burning questions on your mind, you can seek me out there or anytime during the conference, really. I'm happy to talk about SEO. And I'm also talking about everything destination sites, actually over two sessions, as I have so much to say. So if you're going to be there, I don't repeat what I say in those sessions. They're different topics around destination sites. So make sure you come to both. And either way, like, come say hello. I also want to apologize for my voice. I've lost my voice a bit. I'm a bit worried by the end of this podcast, I may not have it. Thankfully, it was for a good reason. I don't have COVID or anything, but I actually just went out a lot on the weekend. It was like I was back in my 20s, but you know, I'm not in my 20s. So my body struggles a little bit. But let's get back to SEO. And we're going to start by talking about some of the basics. So SEO stands for Search Engine Optimization. It's basically all about how you can optimize your blog to appeal to search engines, right? So you get search engine traffic. I think this is where some people can have objections to SEO. You know, as though that if you optimize your content for search engines, you're not optimizing it for people. So you'll end up with saying that's not very reader friendly. But the reality is what search engines are looking for is the best result for people. So they're just trying to find ways that they, you know, can automate and use machines to find what is the best content for people. So really, great SEO is producing great content for people at the end of the day. And everything you can do to make your content great for people is going to help your search engine optimization. So why is SEO important? Well, hopefully you already know. Something that makes me really happy these days compared to earlier in my blogging career is how many bloggers realize it's important today. I don't usually hit someone that wants to go psycho about how SEO is crap and not a real strategy and it doesn't build a real business, because like that was never really good thinking and it really is very short-sighted. I used to actually leave blogging groups because I'd get annoyed that if I talked about SEO and you know how it was a great building block for your blog, that I would get abused by people, and I kind of got sick of it, and it's part of why I started my own group so I could actually talk about SEO. But yeah, that has changed a lot because it really is important. It's such a powerful way to get traffic. You know, if you can get your content, like I said before, in front of people looking for that exact content, you know, and that's what search engine traffic can be, it's just really powerful. You know, it makes it really easy for you to really help people. Okay, because those people are looking for that exact topic. You know, whereas when you're on Facebook or somewhere, and say if you have a page, even if you have a really great audience around that, there's only going to be a certain segment of them that are interested in the topic of your blog post at that point in time, right? Whereas when someone sees you in Google search results, they're interested in that exact topic. And that is just so powerful. It can really help with monetization, which I'm not really going to go into today, but it just really can make it easy for you to serve these people really well. The other great thing about SEO is that once you get a great strategy and you're implementing it, it becomes like quite a passive form long-term of traffic. You know, that's how I'm able to run a lot of sites and have them still do okay when I mightn't work on them for like 6 months because they just keep getting that SEO traffic. So there's a lot to love about SEO, and I'm sure I could say 10 more things, but that's not what this podcast is focused on. There's also some terms that do get used a bit less today. I'm just going to say them briefly because it's kind of what we're covering in this talk, but they're not that important as long as you understand that there's lots of different ways you sort of apply search engine optimization strategies. So it used to sort of break into on-page SEO, on-site SEO, and off-site SEO. So this is sort of breaking down strategies that are about what you do on the page, so on-page SEO, so how you can optimize individual blog posts to get search engine traffic. Then you have on-site, and these are things you do across your site to help get search engine traffic. And then you have off-site SEO, which is everything you do that's not on your blog, right, to get traffic. So there's a lot you can do on your blog, which is great because you have a lot of control over that. And then there's things like link building that are actually on other sites that help your SEO on your blog. But today we're going to really break down what all those things are that you can do. Also going to briefly just say like DA gets talked about a lot, at least in my blogging group, dnwcommunity.com is where you can find that. And that's actually a Moz measure. So it's got actually nothing to do with Google. It's like Moz trying to guess the authority of your website and how that compares to other websites. And it's really just based on off-site SEO, so things outside your blog. So how many links are to your blog primarily. So people use that a lot, and there are some ways that it's helpful, but we're not really talking about it today because it's not really what this talk is about. You can also hear people talk about things like keyword weighting or keyword difficulty when it comes to keyword research. And these are usually, and they can have a lot of different names. These usually just come from keyword tools that help you find keywords and like rankings that those tools might give keywords on how easy or hard they'll be to rank. But I only find those things like really limited usefulness. And I think when it comes to keyword research, you really need to work these things out for yourself, which I can teach you. Now, we're going to talk through, like I said, all the different things you could do on your pages, on your site, and off your site. So we're going to start talking about on page, so things you can do in your individual blog posts. Now, the most major one, if you know anything about SEO, I'm sure you know what that is, and that is keywords. You really want to pick the right keywords to target with your post, okay? So keywords are what people type into Google search, and you want your blog posts to really match what people are out there looking for. Because another great thing about when you do keyword research, it's really just market research. You're looking at what people are wanting to know because how many people go straight to Google when they want to know something now, you know? I do it all the time, and I'm sure just about everyone listening to this does too. So it's a form of market research to know what people want to know. And, you know, it's really powerful for your blog. If you know what people want to know, the types of words they use to look for it and give that back to them, then they're going to find your content is exactly what they're looking for, right? Especially if you really think it through. You know, some keywords are really easy to work out what people mean when they search for them. And sometimes it's a bit harder to know exactly what they want to find out, because it is important you don't just pick a keyword that's not too competitive, that your website has a chance to rank for, but also that you match what people, and it's called search intent, what people are really searching for when they look for that keyword. Okay, what is it they actually want to know? So don't just guess. The easiest way to work it out is to look at the top 10 in Google currently and see what information they're giving, because most probably that's exactly what people are looking for. That's what Google showed, why they show them that those 10 results, right? So you don't just want to use any keyword. You do have to look for one you think your website has a chance to rank for, and definitely in the show notes, I can link you to my tutorial on how to find that. Okay, there's strategies around that. The reality is, I'm just going to put it out there now, your site won't be able to rank for any topic that you want. You know, you do need to be discerning if you want to get more search traffic. You can't just decide, I'm definitely writing on this topic. You want to be open to different topics where your website has a chance to do well in Google search if you want to get that sweet search engine traffic. You can always find something, right? There is so many keywords out there. And what is really great is more and more people are using Google all the time. So there's more and more keywords being added all the time, and more people searching for even what used to be minor ones a few years ago. So there are so many opportunities out there with keywords. Now, when you're looking for keywords, you're not just looking for one. Like, you always pick like a main keyword, like the one that your post is mainly about, that you're likely to put in the post title, but you want to use as many as you can. So I usually use 50 to 100 keywords in a post. It really does help. I know Google likes to spread the rumor and people like to jump on it that you don't need to use keywords exactly, but at this point in time, it is still super powerful to put a lot of keywords in your posts. Now, this doesn't mean affecting article quality. You know, you do get really used to this. You get used to including lots of keywords in a way where the article still reads really great. So it's just a matter of habit. And if you're writing like thorough, detailed guides, which is one of the things I recommend, then you just get a lot of opportunity to use a lot of keywords, right? Like 50 keywords in a 6,000 word article ain't very noticeable. Now, you want to use a meta description. This is a little description what the article is about. And to be fair, these days, Google just likes showing whatever. But it still does show the meta description enough of the time that you should write it. Okay, so it's a little description you write about the article, should include, you know, at least one, your main keyword, and it tells people what it's about. And sometimes Google puts that as the little snippet in Google search. So you don't just want to say what the article is about and use a keyword, but you also want it to be compelling. So if people read it, they click on it. Your article is to be great, like we talked about, in depth and thorough, but they really need to be reader friendly. We want to make sure that when people hit your article, they find what they're looking for and they stay on the article. If they're clicking back to Google search to go click on another result because yours didn't answer them, then that's a signal to Google that you shouldn't be in that top 10, right? So you really don't want that. You want a really great article. So like I keep trying to say, you know, while some people can argue that you're writing for search engines instead of people if you're doing SEO, that is actually not great SEO at all, right? Like, great SEO is really making your articles that your readers will love. Like, if you want to be in that top 10 in Google search, that should be because you have one of the top 10 articles in the world on this topic that will really appeal for people and really help them. Okay, so that's what you're doing, just having keywords as well. Okay, so then Google loves them, they get to more people. It's like everyone's a winner, right? It's just some keywords. Now, there is some talk more recently about Google switching to preferring shorter articles that more directly answer individual queries instead of going really thorough and in depth on articles. You know, and you can kind of see why this might work for Google, because it's kind of saying Google doesn't mind if people go back to Google search after reading your article, as long as they're doing a new query, right? It's not going to look good to Google if they're going back to Google search and clicking something else in that top 10 where they found you. But if they're going back to Google to look for something else, I mean, Google kind of wins, right? They can show more ads, they can make more money if people keep using Google more. So while I can see that this could be something that happens where, you know, they prefer shorter articles that more directly just answer one query instead of you sort of covering the whole topic and giving people less reason to go back to Google, at the moment I'm seeing like zero evidence for that. So definitely long and detailed is the way to go. And at the end of the day, that is better for readers. So I think that this change would be tricky, would take time if they did it, and wouldn't necessarily be in all niches and for all queries, okay? Like, you know, when you sort of write to a keyword where there isn't much to say versus when you could elaborate a lot more. So if you're always just thinking what people are really wanting to know, I think it's harder to go wrong here. So when it comes to strategies to how you can improve the SEO you're doing in individual posts, what does it look like? Well, it really incorporates getting those keywords, like those keywords you can really rank for and more than one. You know, making article plans. So before you write your content, really plan out how you're going to use those keywords, how you can make your article as reader-friendly as possible so it's easy for people to find what they're looking for. They can skim read all of that. And just really incorporating everything we just talked about into building really value-filled articles that readers will love. So that was talking about individual blog posts. Let's talk about other things you can do on your site. So these are more broadly across posts. Now, a really important part is internal linking structure. So this is how all your posts, your homepage, your categories, how everything links together. You want to have a strong internal linking structure. And you really should think this through, like draw a little diagram of it. You know, don't just make it haphazard. This isn't just for SEO, but yet again, like I keep saying, it's just to make it easier for your readers. Like if they come to your homepage and they want to learn about a specific topic that you have a blog post for, think about how they get there. Is that easy? Could they work that out? Okay. Could they get there without using a search? Make sure you really just make it easy for people to navigate and that you have links. So the way I teach it in my SEO courses, you know, really is you should be able to get from your homepage to any post on your site without clicking on the menu or using search as well, like have internal links. So each level of your site structure should link to the level down and then the level back up again. Okay. That really helps people navigate your site. And it's also about sharing the benefit when it comes to SEO of any links that people build to your site. So we'll talk about links in a moment when we talk about things you can do outside of your blog to improve your SEO. But just imagine you have a link to your site. You get benefits from those links to your site and you want to share that benefit around your content as much as possible. And strong internal linking will help with that. Okay, so it's a win in every way. Now your permalink structure, you want that to be good too. Now permalinks are what the URLs say. So ideally, these should be your post titles in the URL. Now, sometimes people get stuck with dates and stuff, and it's really just not ideal for many reasons. You really want your permalinks to look good. You have post titles and put your keywords in there. It's another way when people see your article in Google search results that they can see your article is relevant to them and on the topic they want. And like a big downside if you use dates is that, you know, say you wrote an article, you know, I've been blogging a long time. There's articles I wrote 10 years ago, but that can still be great, right? Because I keep them updated. If someone saw that it's got 2012 in the bloody URL, you know, like who's clicking on that? Like no one wants a 10-year-old article. It doesn't matter. I've updated. They won't be able to see that from Google search. I'll just say I wrote it that long ago. So, you know, that's where it's a really great idea to have your post name. Or back in the day when I first started with WordPress, it used to default to just having post ID in there. You know, that's not helpful to anyone. So it is important and it's really quick and easy to make sure you're doing that. A sitemap is really good. This is something that you can submit to Google in Search Console and it just helps Google and other search engines index your site. So that one's less for your users, but any SEO plugin will do that for you and there's a lot of benefits to that. Now you should have a good use of categories and tags or any other archives. I usually turn off, in fact, I always turn off author archives. And date-based archives. You don't need 50 archives. Like, think about what's actually useful for people. I actually barely use tags too, okay? If you've got tons of categories and tags on your site, I'd really go analyze whether they're actually performing any good. Are they actually useful for readers? You know, you can go check Google Analytics and see if anyone actually clicks on them. If no one's looking at them, then you don't need it. I try to sort of keep to one post, one category sort of thing, and then the homepage is kind of is my structure. So you've got the homepage down to your categories and then your posts underneath them. Generally one category per post. Of course, a category can have many posts, but sometimes there's exceptions to that one. And occasionally I might use a tag, but there has to be some reason why that really benefits my readers and why they would go look at it. So cleaning up all of that can help you just have a much better internal linking structure and a much more useful and easy to navigate site. So what should a strategy look like for your SEO across your site? Well, it's really going to be about your internal linking structure and how every post fits in, you know, so draw it out, make sure you're really clear on your structure. So anytime you write a new post, you know where it fits and a plan for your categories and tags so you're not really haphazard about them and they have a purpose. Now let's move on to our last sort of area we're going to talk about. So offsite SEO, everything that you do outside of your blog to improve your SEO. So primarily, this is about linking. Okay, Links to your blog are always going to be super helpful, and you should really be aiming those good quality sites. So there might be another blog in your niche. There's commercial sites out there that you can get links from. I don't mean ones you buy. I mean, you could go, you know, it's amazing if you try how many commercial sites are open to you writing a blog post for them, you know. So back in the day when I had my family travel blog, I wrote blog posts for like a lot of hotel booking sites, like Agoda. And I don't know, I wrote for tons of them and got links that way. You know, they were pretty powerful. All these types of things really help. Because the way Google sees it, right, is that links are like boats to your website. Because it's okay for you to have a website and put great content up, but it's kind of just you saying it's great content. Whereas when other people write about you and link to you, that's like telling Google that other people also think it's really great. Okay. And the more authoritative they see those people and sites as, the more weight they will put on those links. That's why, you know, links from really high authority sites are very meaningful. Even not just links, but people talking about you as an expert or your site as being an authority, all those things can help. Social media signals can definitely help too. So just, it's sort of like just any buzz around your blog, any links, any of that can really help you. So what does a strategy look like in this area of SEO? It could definitely be a link building plan, how you're going to get links. Now, I do have a 7-day link building challenge that'll be linked to at the show notes, which can really help you get started with that. And of course, my brand new SEO course covers link building in depth. So that can really help you as well. You know, getting out on social media can help, but I mean, personally, being such an SEO fan, I don't use social media that often for my websites and I'm still fine. But yeah, I definitely do link building. I've tried in more recent times to do strategies where you go for like really low competition keywords and don't do links instead, hoping that you'll just rank just because no one else writes about them, basically. With mixed success, I still think if you're a blogger, you know, you're only running a site or two, link building is really going to be quicker and easier and more powerful and lead to better monetization. So I do really highly recommend it. I do cover a bit more about that in the course. So today we've talked about why you'd want to form an SEO strategy, how to do that, how to make sure your readers are super happy. You know, I've stepped you through all these things, the different things you can do on your posts, on your site and off-site as well. And I hope you found this interesting and it's helped you understand how different parts of SEO fit together and how it's not just about links and keywords, although these are important. You know, the majority of SEO actually really is about giving your readers a great experience, both with great content, how they navigate your site and can use your blog. Now you can find today's show notes for this episode as well as links to more resources. I've talked about quite a lot of them at digitalnomadwannabe.com/episode39. And you can also sign up for my brand new SEO fast track for only $97 at digitalnomadwannabe.com/SEO. Now this includes full instructions for everything we've talked about today, as well as topics we haven't, like diving into relevancy more, keyword strategies for super low competition sites, and the recent quality content update. It's a complete solution and you can easily make the course cost back with all the great traffic you'll have. Now make sure you subscribe to this channel because next episode I'm heading back to everything My Malaysia site case study related. Done a lot on this site since I returned from Europe and I have a lot to share and I look forward to chatting with you then.
Thanks for listening to Make Money Blogging with Digital Nomad Wannabe. Be sure to subscribe to this podcast for more actionable tips and strategies for growing traffic and income for your blog so you can build a blogging business you love. Don't forget to leave a review so we can continue to bring you the best content. See you next episode.